It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yes, it is the Tuesday after Labor Day. My favorite time of the year. They're back in school, at least sometime this week they're back in school. Football, you can smell it in the air. And this year, unlike other years, is also really special on a Tuesday after Labor Day because it's moving time for the New York Mets and the New York Yankees. We have legitimate pennant races, and this is the day, Tiki. There's always benchmarks throughout a baseball season. You've got Memorial Day as a benchmark. You got the 4th of July as a benchmark. You have the All-Star Game as a benchmark. You've got the trade deadline as a benchmark. And through all of those benchmarks, you and I and many others would utter, it's a long-ass season.
It is a long-ass season.
And only in New York, my friends.
But 2 days before the start of the NFL season, are we talking baseball?
Well, you know why? Because this is bleep-cutting time.
Yes, it is.
There is just merely a few weeks left in this season, and we got a lot of football to get to today, including a conspiracy on why Bill Belichick is now kissing the ass of the New York Jets, the latest on Hassan Reddick. A lot to do. And we'll also figure out what's on the line when we make our NFL picks throughout this season. But right now for the New York Mets and the New York Yankees, to me it is very simple as we approach this post-Labor Day world. For the New York Mets, and I don't want to hear any excuses, I don't want any exceptions, I don't want to hear, well, they got us to Labor Day, they got us to football season, the New York Mets must make the postseason. They have had a wonderfully fun year so far. No one's denying that. They're 10 games above 500 for the first time all year. They've won 5 in a row. But in my humble opinion, and I think in most people's humble opinion, they've got to make the postseason. They've got to seal the deal. And right now, they're there. They're a half game behind Atlanta. They've gained a lot of ground on Arizona and San Diego. So there's a few different avenues to make the postseason. But let's start with that warning to the New York Mets. They've got to make the postseason.
But do you think it's going to be that easy as just saying it? Because the answer is no. I mean, I've been gone for a week. And a week ago when I left, just paying attention as I'm on a plane going 9 hours away to what's happening with the local baseball teams. And what I hear via social media is how dead the Mets are.
They died 12 times this season.
It's over. It's yes. Done. Yes. They're falling far behind the Atlanta Braves, which seemingly was their only way into the postseason, was catching the Braves. Forget the Diamondbacks, against the Padres, who are just running away, even though they've come a little bit closer. And then I come back a week later, and they're half a game. By the way, I paid no attention to baseball while I was gone. But I come back a half a week
healthy.
Later. A week later, and what do I see? Oh, this dead team is a half a game out of the
wild
card.
I wish I could.
This is the problem with you Met fans.
With
you baseball fans.
With us.
Is that you get so, like, hyperbolic over the littlest thing. It's a long ass season.
But it's not.
I'm quoting you from 35 seconds ago.
You're right. But guess what? Now it's not. It's the Tuesday after Labor Day. It's not a long-ass season. There's a few weeks left in the season. The New York Mets have now played 138 games. My math tells me there's only 24 left. That's not a long-ass season.
It's not.
And it's not going to be easy because the Mets have one of the most difficult schedules in baseball, and they've done well facing good teams. And it's not going to be easy because the Atlanta Braves have one of the softest schedules in Major League Baseball. No one's suggesting it's easy. I just want to put out there what I think is the reality for all of us. There's no celebrating a non-playoff season. There's no saying that was fun. Gee golly, I wouldn't have thought this in May. No, they're right there. It's all right in front of them, to quote Aaron Boone. But now you've got to do it. They've got 3.5 weeks to do it. And if they don't do it, and the Mets aren't playing October baseball, I'll be saying it loud and proud. Mm. This sucks.
Yeah, but,
I'm not happy with this season.
It will suck, but are you going to be saying it was a disaster? That you're so utterly disappointed in this Mets team because they fell short? Because think of what falling short is. Mm-hmm. Falling short is being behind the league-leading Philadelphia Phillies. It is the Diamondbacks and the Padres who have, give them credit, accelerated when they had to. Right? When you get that little stretch where this is our chance to take our run, let's go take our run. And the Braves, who unbelievably are holding on despite all of the injuries that they've had over the course of the season, they're just the Braves. They're a well-run organization. And so falling short of that, it can't be disappointing.
Oh, yes, it will.
It will be like, oh, man, that stinks. But disappointing,
yes.
Like the roof, burn it up,
yes.
Right? Get rid of everybody.
I didn't say get rid of everybody.
Move on from the world that put this thing together. I think we can't help but remember what the season was supposed to be.
Stop.
That has evolved into something else. Obviously. A lot of that is because Francisco Lindor has been utterly spectacular. Spectacular. Mm-hmm. And all of this hate. I wish all of the haters of Francisco Lindor from 2 years ago till even the beginning of this year will stand up and apologize
yes.
to that man.
Apologize.
He's been unbelievable. And Buck Showalter said he was unbelievable 2 years ago, Francisco Lindor. We've hated on him so much, we've forgotten how great he is.
I was wrong.
That's what it comes down to. Yes, BT definitely was wrong. And so was Sal, I'm sure. But the point is, this team has, I think, overachieved from where the expectation was. Why I'm talking about where the expectation was is because you have to put it in perspective. What do we think that David Stearns was coming in here to do? Well, let's just evaluate this team. I said it 1,000 times. Let's just evaluate this team. Let's see what we got. We're not guaranteeing anything to Pete Alonso. We're getting one-year contracts on a bunch of players, including J.D. Martinez and Luis Severino. Let's just figure out who the hell we are, Harrison Bader included. Who are we? And then over the course of 4 months, certain guys have risen the expectation of this team internally, and they've gotten this close to getting to the postseason. But when you judge this make-or-break moment getting into the postseason, you have to look at it in context. You have to.
No.
And I know it's going to suck because it's hard for fans to do that because you only live in right now. You only live in where we are in this moment. I am where my feet are. Yeah. Forget the journey that got me here. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, yeah.
The journey has been long and arduous for
long
this Mets team.
Long ass journey, yes.
And there's still what, 3 weeks left? Whatever the heck it is. There's still 24 games left. But it's not finished, obviously. But to be like grossly disappointed if you don't make the postseason.
Yes.
I think it's discounting how good some of these other teams are and how daunting of a grind this was for the New York Mets.
I appreciate everything you said. I really do.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. I appreciate thinking back to how we felt in March and how we...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We felt in April and what David Stearns was supposed to do.
Oh, God, forget it. In March and April, this thing was done.
I know.
It's over.
I ain't even watching baseball. How many times did you guys say, when are the Jets starting?
Yeah.
I appreciate everything you said, but you're wrong. And here's how I know you're wrong.
Go ahead.
if this team, and I know there's a lot of things that can happen over the next 3.5 weeks. I mean, look at the way this season has gone. The Mets have had such valleys and then peaks and then valleys. And jokingly, but sort of not jokingly, they've been killed off 35 times.
Yes, they have.
Edwin Diaz gives up a grand slam to Corbin Carroll last week. They're done.
I think that's the one that I remember.
Yeah, that's the one.
Everyone is saying, it's over.
I turned on our very own show. The only thing I heard was Chris Big Mac McMonagle saying, the Mets are dead. So I know they've been killed 150 times, and I'm sure there'll be crazy things over the next 3.5 weeks. So obviously the way it ends is going to alter how we feel. But in a world in which as many teams make the playoffs as do now, six teams make the playoffs, I'm sorry, with the way they've played, with the year Lindor has had, with how good the starting pitching has been, with Edwin Diaz responding to that Corbin Carroll grand slam by looking like 2022 Edwin Diaz. I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry. No apologies. They have to make the playoffs. That is my warning to the New York Mets. And by the way, I got a warning for the New York Yankees. And this is not something I thought I would feel, but I honestly feel this way on the Tuesday after Labor Day, the moving day portion of the Major League Baseball season. I have said many times, just make the playoffs. Anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I stand by that. If the Mets make the playoffs and they are the third wild card team, do they have a shot to knock off the Brewers or the Phillies? Absolutely.
History says yes.
History says they can go on a great run. But I remember in 2022, thinking, boy, the Mets have to win this division. Beningo would say that to you and Tiki all the time.
Yeah.
You and Tierney all the time. They got to win the division. They didn't win the division. They're in the wild card series. They get knocked out. The New York Yankees, on a lot of levels, and I'll get to all my reasons why, need to win the American League East. They need to. This idea of, well, they don't win the American League East. They're the top wild card team. It's not that big of a deal. They'll play the Twins in the wild card round. Mm-hmm. They'll smoke them. No harm, no foul. I'll give you a myriad of reasons why that's horse crap. While I would warn the Yankees, too, as they sit here so tight with the Orioles, a half game up on Baltimore. It's the same as the Mets. The Mets were a half game behind Atlanta. The Yankees are a half game ahead of Baltimore. Do you realize that in the Aaron Judge era, and let's call it the Aaron Judge era, when the New York Yankees have home field advantage in a postseason series or a postseason game, we'll include the wild card game,
mm-hmm.
Do you realize that the New York Yankees have not lost the postseason series? Like, not once. Not once. When the Yankees go into a postseason series in the Aaron Judge era with game one at Yankee Stadium, they win the series. When they go into a postseason series where they're playing game one on the road three different times against the Houston Astros,
that was also the Houston Astros.
Fine. They mostly lose. In the 8 series they've played in the Aaron Judge era, they are 2-6 in those said series. And by the way, the 2 series they won, I'll tell you exactly what it was. The Minnesota Twins, which doesn't even count. They're barely a major league franchise.
Daddies.
Back in 2019 in the American League Divisional Series. And the only other time was the Cleveland Guardians in the wild card series of 2020, in which nobody was in the stands. So my point to you is, yeah, in baseball, crazy things happen. But I think when you look at the history of this franchise, not the Yankees as a whole, I'm talking about the Aaron Judge era, home field advantage matters. They haven't had it a lot since 2017. They've been in the division lead a lot for the final few months. The Orioles have also been flawed.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a lot of reasons why winning this division is so important for the New York Yankees, and I think could help dictate how far this team goes.
Right, and it's two things with the Yankees. One, they consistently find a way to just do what they have to do to stay where they are, but they're not running away. Either that, or the Orioles are not going away. So you give the Orioles credit.
I don't give them credit. I think it's the Yankees not going away. The Orioles have been mediocre for the last 2 months. I think it's the Yankees not taking it by the you know what?
Yeah, but I mean, it's hard to even say that because we think about some of the issues that they've had, the injuries that they've had. I mean, Rizzo just finally came back a couple of games ago. So, like, the issues that have plagued this team were real issues. Hopefully, they're getting healthy at the perfect time so that they can make this run and finally start taking steps away from the Baltimore Orioles. But the Orioles are, and I felt this in the very first series that the Yankees and the Orioles played earlier in the year. They weren't scared of the Yankees, right? They came here. They weren't scared of the Yankees. And I said at the time, yeah, this feels like the Astros, maybe baby Astros. Not in the sense that they had that much talent, but they're just not afraid of the big bad machine that is the Yankees. And it still feels that way. The Orioles are just hanging around. So the only way the Yankees are pulling away is if they become dominant in ways that they haven't been dominant over stretches of time for a lot of the season.
But I tell you why I disagree with you on that. You know, it's funny to think back to different portions of this baseball season. And earlier this season when the Orioles were 43-22 mm-hmm. and they were winning a lot of games.
Didn't lose a series to a division opponent, correct? Remember that statistic you gave us?
They went multiple years without losing a series to a divisional opponent. You mentioned their success against the Yankees. Remember when they beat up Luis Gil mm-hmm. on that Thursday afternoon? Since that moment, when they beat up Luis Gil on that Thursday afternoon, the Orioles are a sub-500 team, and that goes back multiple months. The Orioles have been no great shakes. The Yankees have failed to take the bull by the horns and win the American League East.
Yeah, but why is that?
I'll tell you why. I think there's a myriad of reasons why. Number one, they haven't beaten the teams they're supposed to beat. I mean, this has been going on now for a month. Like, the Yankees beat good teams, and they deserve mm-hmm. a lot of credit for that. I gave out the stat a few weeks ago. Their record against current playoff teams is through the roof. Well, what are they doing against lousy teams? Yeah. How'd they do against the Washington Nationals?
Yeah, they lost that series.
Yeah, that can't happen. And I know, Sean, you've been complaining about this as a Yankee fan. You don't think they're putting their best lineup forward.
They're not.
And that's a big problem because I don't know if you share the urgency of now that I have, that winning the American League East is a big deal.
Yeah, hell yeah it is, because like you just said, it's not even about winning the division. Winning the division, as we see now with a month left, also means top seed in the whole damn thing. And this Yankee team does have flaws, no matter whether they get hot or not, and I want to play the least amount of playoff games possible, and that matters.
He's right.
With winning a division. Dude, it just does.
He's so right. If you're going to get... It's just
you
a
wouldn't
number.
Have said that as a Giant fan.
Probably not.
It's a little different. The Yankees, sure, they can get hot at the right time. It's easier to get hot at the right time when you need to win a few less games to win it all. And also,
especially when you have home field, home whatever you will. Yeah,
home field advantage. Look, Brian Cashman has said something over the years that really pisses me off. Really pisses me off because it's disingenuous and it's BS. He says, well, the playoffs are a crapshoot. And my counter to that has always been, but you haven't been on the wrong end of the crapshoot. You lose series you're supposed to lose.
You mean the correct end of the crapshoot?
Well, yeah.
I know what you mean.
When was the last time, and I have the answer for you, and I want you to think about this, Yankee fans, and this is why I do think this is important. I really do think winning this division and finishing with the number one seed, it matters. When was the last time the New York Yankees went to the postseason as the number one seed in the American League? Home field advantage throughout, team to beat record-wise, not payroll-wise, record-wise. When was the last time? You know the answer?
Tell me 2009.
I was going to say later than that. I want to feel like that was one of those Cliff Lee Texas series.
Yeah. It was 2012. Bang. 2012. Now think about that. That is predating the Aaron Judge era. That's a different era of New York Yankee baseball. The Aaron Judge era started in 2017. I don't even include 2015, the wild card. I don't include that. That's BS. That was like a fart in the wind year where they made the postseason and they got eliminated quickly by Houston. Since 2017... the New York Yankees have never gone to the postseason with the best record in the American League. And maybe you hear that and say, well, what does that mean? What it means is you just proved you were the best team in the American League over 162. They haven't done that. And they have a chance to do that right now. They are a half game up on the Orioles. They're a game up on Cleveland. They have a month to go in the season. Do it. Go to the postseason as the best team in the American League. And you know what, Brian? If you lose then, for the first time ever, buy the crapshoot argument. But it's never been valid because you've never been the favorite. You go into every postseason series as a good team hoping to get hot. That's what they've been every year. This is their chance, and it's important. I really believe that, Yankee fans. I don't buy this just make the postseason logic. That may work with the Mets because we're never there. They don't make the playoffs
right,
a lot.
But it's also where they are and in their team history, current team history.
Yeah.
The Mets aren't one of the dominant teams, even though they've played like it for stretches of this season in Major League Baseball. They're a team that is fighting to get into the postseason. So when you're fighting to get there, it's like, all right, whatever happens, happens. A la 2007 Giants. Whatever happens, happens. We'll make a run.
Right.
We'll go on the road. We'll do whatever we have to do. Whereas the Yankees, you're one of the dominant teams in baseball. You're supposed to get to the postseason and go deep.
And
period.
If you're the one seed, you don't see those Houston Astros till the ALCS.
That's a part of it, too. That's a big part of it, too.
Stop being scared, man.
I'm not scared. I think the Yankees will beat them.
Stop. That was a scared chicken you-know-what statement.
No, no, no. I'm just trying to lay out the easiest path.
I'm not accepting that from you, Sean.
I'm trying to be positive, Teak. I just want the easiest path.
I just don't want to face the Astros.
Hey, I got to tell you, I'm with them on that. If I'm the Yankees, give me that best record, get me one less round to play, and let me avoid the Astros. We'll get to your calls. I think this is the time of year. This is your last benchmark of a baseball season. And now the moment is in front of us. The New York Mets better make the postseason, and the New York Yankees better win the American League East. Toll-free numbers 888-808-1019. Now, Sean Morash said sometimes the Yankees don't put their best lineup out there. There are a lot of Yankee fans that are very, very upset about the fact that Jason Dominguez is not here. And there's a lot of information out there contradicting each other on why he isn't here. Mm. We will give you the definitive fact-checked reason for why Jason Dominguez is not here right now. But for Met fan and Yankee fans, let's do this. 888-808-1019. A lot of football to get to coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. The return of Posted and Toasted at 3:30. And, of course, Sean has a great Cinco de Five-O list coming up at 5 o'clock. We're all very much waiting to hear.
I want some answers, too. Don't we all?
Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. A lot of football to get to as the show rolls on, including the latest on the Hassan Reddick situation. So I mentioned before, in the Aaron Judge era, the Yankees have played 4 postseason series in which they had home field advantage. They won all 4 of them. They've played 8 postseason series in which they haven't had home field advantage. They're 2-6 in them. The 2 that they won, to clarify, 2020 against Cleveland in that Fugazi wildcard series, and 2017 against Cleveland, where they were actually behind 0-2. And they came back dramatically, and they beat the Cleveland then Indians at the time. Those are the only 2 times they've won postseason series in which they haven't had home field advantage. Now, let's get to Jason Dominguez. This is very, very important. So, Jason Dominguez was not called up on September 1st, and there has been speculation, I brought this up a few weeks ago, that the Yankees were manipulating Dominguez to keep him down in the minor leagues so that he could qualify to win Rookie of the Year next year, yep, in which teams get draft pick compensation if one of their young players wins Rookie of the Year. So, when Dominguez wasn't called up on September 1st, and instead we got the immortal Duke Ellis. Once a Met, always a Met. He was a Met in their system for about 5 minutes.
Except he wasn't.
Except he was. He actually never got up to the major leagues. There was clear speculation. Oh, my God. The Yankees are keeping Dominguez down to manipulate a draft that's in 2 years. Tiki Barber has done his research. He has spoken to the people that matter. So before we discuss Dominguez not being here, is this related to a potential draft pick compensation the Yankees would receive if he won Rookie of the Year next year?
The answer is no. That is called prospect performance incentive. That's what we are alluding to. Your prospect wins Rookie of the Year, then you get draft pick compensation. The reason that I think Jason Dominguez, a la the Martian, is not up right now for the New York Yankees is twofold. One, he's not quite good enough already. And two, this team just trusts the veteran more. Mm. So let's think about this from an organizational standpoint. What's the most important thing for the Yankees this year?
Winning.
It's winning. It's also signing Juan Soto. And so they're both go hand in hand. If the Yankees should find a way to get themselves to a World Series and win said World Series, and Juan Soto is overcome with emotion, and the money is right, obviously. That sure probably comes first. The money is right, and he's overcome with the emotion of having a ticker tape parade in New York City and winning a World Series, or getting close, it helps them sign Juan Soto. And Jason Dominguez, as exciting as he is he's probably not ready. He came up here.
Well, hold on. So it is not connected to draft pick compensation.
Exactly. It has nothing to do with draft pick compensation.
He would not be, the Yankees would not be eligible to get a draft pick.
Yes, you're right. Here, Evan, I'll back up because I'm burying the lead.
Yes.
Because this has become so much of a conspiracy theory online, mm-hmm, because he is on the IL. And if he spends 45 days on the IL, he's no longer eligible for Rookie of the Year consideration. Therefore, he's no longer eligible for PPI, the Prospect Performance Incentive. The challenge is that there are 2 separate criteria. Mm-hmm. So Jason Dominguez was up for 10 days. He's been on the IL since then. So he's not going to do 2 things. 45 active days, excluding IL. That's not going to happen.
Right.
He was up for 10 days. If he played the rest of the games, 24, he'd be at 34 days. he's rookie eligible, rookie of the year eligible.
So no matter what, if they called him up right now,
he's not going to get 130 at-bats unless he's six at-bats a game, which is not going to happen.
He's had four at-bats this season. To lose rookie status, you'd have to have 130 at-bats. He's not getting to that number.
It's not happening. So the 45 active days, excluding IL, plus 130 at-bats, he's not going to hit. He's not going to hit those two criteria. Therefore, he is rookie of the year eligible next year. However, the criteria for the PPI is different. It has everything to do with days of service.
And he will have passed that.
That includes the IL. And since he's been on the IL basically since the beginning of the year, he has exceeded the PPI eligibility criteria. Therefore, he is not being held down because the Yankees want to try to get a draft pick if he wins rookie
of the
year.
Okay, so that's really, really important before we get into the Verdugo stuff. So the idea that Dominguez was not called up because the Yankees are angling for an extra draft pick potentially in 2026 is not backed up by the current CBA. He will not be eligible
to help
the Yankees get this extra draft pick.
He is currently ineligible to help the Yankees get a draft pick by winning Rookie of the Year. He can still win Rookie of the Year.
Right, but it wouldn't help the Yankees.
But it does not help the Yankees with the PPI.
All right, so we can put that to rest. You've talked to people that know this stuff. We went to the sources. It's done. So the conspiracy is dead. Jason Dominguez is not being kept in the minor leagues because of a draft pick. Let's be clear. I think all of us would agree that that would be ridiculous.
Of course.
That would be foolish.
Because the most important thing is the win.
Of course.
And so what it comes down to most likely is that this team trusts Alex Verdugo more than they trust Jason Dominguez at this point.
Right. That's worse than the draft pick.
It might be. It might be.
Well,
but as a skip, as a general manager, these are decisions you have to make. It just is what it is.
And
you know what I mean? It's like, I trust the veteran left tackle or the rookie who might get his ass beat on Sundays? That's essentially the conversation this is coming down to.
Here's the issue. If you told me it was the draft pick, I would disagree with it, but I at least would understand the direction of the franchise.
Yes.
You cannot tell me and other Yankee fans that last year when you were dead and buried by mid-August that Jason Dominguez was good enough to sell us on still coming to games, on still watching games.
Yes, but think about that.
We watched him before. But he was good enough for all that. He's not good enough to help this team. Verdugo stinks.
Okay, think about what you're saying. Stop thinking about this from a baseball standpoint, winning and losing games. Think of it from a business standpoint. I need to get Sean Marash's ass in a seat. How can I do that when the season is lost? Oh, I know. I'll bring up the Martian. And you guys will have fun watching him mash home runs and look like the prospect that's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Right? It's obviously what they did.
That's definitely what they did.
This year is different. The circumstances are we need to win. And they believe that Alex Verdugo, whether or not that's true or not, they believe that Alex Verdugo gives them the better chance to do that.
Okay, so there's a couple of things here.
Now, we can argue that.
Well, yeah.
But to argue the whole, they're holding them down for the rookie of the year PPI thing, that's forget that.
Well,
it's out the window.
I'm glad it's out the window because I completely disagree with Sean. A baseball argument concerning Alex Verdugo getting hot in the final month versus a young player who missed the bulk of the year coming off of an injury and then having a separate injury is a much better argument than the Yankees in the midst of a pennant race is holding a guy down for a draft pick for 2 years.
No, right. Evan.
Dude, that is, I'm sorry.
Right, because the draft pick is next, it's 2 years from now.
Well, it's not even a guarantee. You're talking about an award next year, and then you're talking about a sandwich pick in 2026. Like, that to me would be the dumbest argument humanly possible, and the Yankees would need to be destroyed for it. So I'm glad that's not the argument. Now we can have a Verdugo-Dominguez debate.
By the way, I wouldn't be happy with either. I'm just saying at least I would understand there's foresight. What I can understand, and they just finally did this now, Rizzo's come back. Thank God he's gotten a couple hits with LeMahieu. We've seen enough now from Verdugo. And if you want to make the case he's going to get hot right before October.
No, hold on. Here's the argument, all right? Because I'll tell you what I would do in a second, but let's just give you the facts. Alex Verdugo is 12 for his last 36.
He's gotten better.
Okay, so for the last week and a half against the Nationals and the Cardinals in Texas, I get it. It's a small sample size. Alex Verdugo has hit. Can you at least agree with that?
Yes, he's hit better. Yes, he has.
Okay.
He has.
Let's put that out there. Number one, Alex Verdugo has gotten a little bit hotter. What I would have done, though, is as much as I love having a pinch runner extraordinaire off the bench, I don't want to minimize that because it does actually matter. I would have called Jason Dominguez up to continue to light that fire on Alex Verdugo's ass. That you are not guaranteed to be the everyday left fielder. Now, if you continue to hit, can you be the everyday left fielder? Sure. But I think Dominguez should have been up here, and where I disagree with the Yankees is the idea that he has to play every day. Boone made that comment at his post-game press conference.
Yeah.
Well, he has to play every day. No, he doesn't. It's September. You're in a pennant race.
Yeah.
You play the hot hand.
Yeah.
If Dominguez plays well, look, he had one day up here, and he sucked in that game against the Tigers. I don't want to kill him for one day, but he did double clutch on a potential outfield assist situation with the game on the line, and he went 0 for 4. If he doesn't, then he doesn't play. But I do like the idea on September 1st of giving myself the most options possible to put more pressure on Alex Verdugo and see, as the month goes on, who deserves to play every day.
It's almost callous for a young player, but you got to do it. Hey, Jason, you're not going to play every day, but if we can use you, guess what? We're going to use you.
Yeah.
That's what it should come down to.
And they're still sitting Stanton once a week. Rather than have LeMahieu go back out there
he's
and play.
Gonna play. That's the point.
He's absolutely going to play.
He's going to play. So where I disagree with the Yankees is just because you call Dominguez up, and I guess I disagree with some Yankee fans, the idea that Dominguez comes up means basically Verdugo's dead to all of us. Mm. That's not necessarily true. I just don't agree that Dominguez has to come up here and play all the time. And you know what hurts Dominguez? He doesn't hit that well against lefties.
Yeah.
Because if he mashed as a right-hand hitter, this would be easy. I'll call him up. He'll face all lefties. He's throughout his entire minor league career.
And that's just exacerbating a problem, by the way.
Yeah.
Not hitting against lefties.
No doubt. He's been a better left-hand hitter than right-hand hitter. But what I'm glad about, and I think Yankee fans should be glad with this minor note, is that the Yankees aren't keeping a guy down for a high school kid who's a sophomore right now because you may get a draft pick in 2026. Thank God that's not a thing, because that would be a disgrace.
Yes, I'm glad we can put that to rest.
But yeah. Alex Verdugo's 12 for his last 34, Sean.
That's right.
Oh, great. And guess what? All of his outs, this is obviously very hyperbole. I'm still done with the double plays. And that is still what Alex Verdugo is. He's still a ground ball machine. His outs are oftentimes twice the outs that other guys' outs are. So I'll calm down with how hot he is.
The other reason why I want Dominguez
rally
up here,
killer.
even though Dominguez, as a young player who's barely played the major leagues, who's missed a lot of time this year, even though you never know what you're going to get, kind of excites me. He could come up and take off. He could come up and be incredible. Alex Verdugo is a nice player. He's fine. Well, at least he was fine for the first 2 months of the season. Then he was one of the worst left fielders in baseball for the next 2 months of the season. But Alex Verdugo's kind of roof is fine baseball player. Right? Jason Dominguez's roof could be, oh my God, this is Miguel Cabrera from 2003. You know what I mean? Like the guy who comes up and just takes off. So I'm intrigued by that. And that's why, yeah, I agree with you, Sean. I would have called him up on September 1st. We don't need Duke Ellis.
It's also ceiling, not roof.
What'd I say?
Roof.
Roof.
Well, it works the same.
No,
the ceiling is the roof.
Isn't it the same? Isn't a roof a ceiling?
No, it's not. The ceiling's on the interior. The roof's on the exterior.
I think a roof is, it's literally the thing above your head.
Yeah.
Whereas a ceiling can be the thing above your head, but also the height at which someone could rise to.
I think my analogy
it's a metaphor.
Yes, exactly. That's a good way to put it.
I think it works both ways.
By the way, maybe I should go away again, because when I left, Verdugo got hot.
Yeah.
I'm just going back to the 24th. He's hitting 350.
Well, look, is there any other European countries you want to tackle here?
I went to all the eyes. Iceland, Ireland.
That's pretty impressive, man. Before we get to your calls, what have you done, Sean, with your Alex Verdugo dog t-shirt? Like, did you retire it, or is it just tucked away somewhere?
I haven't seen it recently.
Yeah, well, let's make things one thing very clear here.
Yeah.
The Yankees are dogs. Whether Alex Verdugo started the barking or not.
But every time you wore that t-shirt, I thought you were alluding to Alex Verdugo.
Well, I did. The last time I wore it was after a big home, I think his last home run he hit. But yes. No, it's about the Yankees, guys. And the Yankees are the true dogs in town. I'll continue to wear it all through October.
All right. Oh, they're dogs. That was the 24th then.
Maybe. I'm losing track. My wardrobe's slimming here.
There are.
I'm just looking. He's only had one home run.
I was going to say.
In the last month. Dude, I think he's hit one home run since the All-Star break.
Yeah. His previous home run was July 6th.
Yeah.
And then he hit one on the 24th, which is when I was on my way to Italy.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe. Maybe less.
One home run in the second half, by the way, which is just beyond pathetic.
Yeah, right.
What did you try to say?
No, I said the Yankees are dogs. There's just a word after that I can't say on the radio again. I'll get in trouble.
I got you. Let's go to, start it off with JR in Somerville. What's up, JR?
What up, JR?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're good.
What's up?
All right. Hey, this conversation is a microcosm. It's something, it's the reason why New York hasn't won sports in the last 12 years. Call it Jason Dominguez. Come on. Miguel Cabrera? This guy, you know, he's not, he barely graduated double A. You know, he's hitting a weak 300 in AAA. If you look at the advanced stats, this guy's not even hitting the ball hard down there. And you guys are ready just to elevate him to the top.
Yeah. No. Hold on. I said he could beat Miguel Cabrera. He's a top prospect.
Miguel Cabrera's better than AAA. He's better than AAA.
But JR, Jason Dominguez could also suck. He's a prospect. I admit that. I'm saying to you why I would call up a young player when you have a left fielder who's been one of the worst left fielders in baseball for the last 2 months is that there's a huge factor to Dominguez where he could be a nothing and barely play, or he could blossom into the superstar that he looked like briefly last year. Obviously, he's not Miguel Cabrera. What are you laughing at? What's so crazy about that?
He has eight hits. Stealing a base is a new clutch hit in Major League Baseball. You guys go crazy about all this, you know, the guys that come up and hit. Nobody's hitting in Major League Baseball. Batting average is at .240. Let somebody steal a base in a clutch situation, come up here and make a difference in the postseason when
you
it matters.
You know what, then? I agree with you. Then get rid of Trent Grisham and have Duke Ellis take his spot then.
Bingo.
That'd be my answer to you. I said I don't want to minimize a guy off the bench who can steal a base. I completely agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also saying you have a left fielder who, despite being 12 for his last 34, has been the worst left fielder in baseball for 2 months, and I've got a top prospect who, yes, hasn't proven anything. We all agree with that. My only point is, if he comes up here, he could blossom into a superstar, or he can be nothing. But we already know Verdugo's been blah.
Yeah.
So don't take one line of he could be Miguel Cabrera as if I'm saying he's Miguel Cabrera. Did you guys take it that way?
No. You're saying he could be. And when you look at his minor league stats, even his stint last year in Major League Baseball, I mean, his advanced stats were impressive, right? You look at the WRC plus, the expected batting, all that stuff. So I know what he's saying. This year they stink, right? This year, especially
it's been an uneven year this
in
year
the major
for
leagues
him. I get you.
For him, it's been bad. Obviously he had the UCL, which he recovered from, but then you get this obscure injury that we hear about so often, and it feels like it's nothing and everything at the same time, which is the oblique. I don't know what that is. I don't know what it means or how it affects a baseball player, but it's clearly affected Jason Dominguez. Mm-hmm. And so if we really want to talk about why he's not up here, it's likely because of that. It's likely because his advanced numbers have fallen off the table from where they were. I'm talking minor leagues and in the major leagues, obviously in the major leagues, but in the minor leagues as well, from where he was prior to that oblique injury. And so they just simply don't trust him. Mm. And they trust Alex Verdugo simply because he's a veteran.
Brian Cashman said there was no lane for him to play. That sounds like code for we love Alex Verdugo. Let's go to Bob in Manhattan. What's up, Bob?
Hi, guys. I think Tiki's right about this. I think that Dominguez, from everything I've read, he's spraying the ball all over the field. But I want to amplify that point. I think the Yankees are going to win on defense and pitching. And you take Verdugo out of there and you put in Dominguez, they're going to be weaker defensively. They've got a third baseman, Jess Chisholm, who's learning how to play the third base. Volpe is shaky at short. You know, they've got two or three.
Well, I know that last part I don't agree with. Anthony Volpe has been Gold Glove caliber at shortstop.
Maybe,
right
maybe
about,
if he was talking about his bat, I'd get it.
Yeah.
But
that's different. We're talking about his defense. And I also don't necessarily agree that the Yankee formula to success is going to be their pitching and their defense. It's going to be mashing.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be scoring runs. And one guy whose name we have not mentioned in the last 44 minutes deserves to be mentioned. Because he was run out of New York 55 times. You talk about apology letters for Francisco Lindor. How about an apology for Big G, Giancarlo Stanton? How about that? You want to apologize?
No, because he still got hurt this year, and that remains. He's Daniel Jones. And every time he's hurt, he posts the team.
But this was a different kind of hurt. I know what you're saying, Sean, but I got to evaluate it a little bit differently. Because I feel like
He's self-reported an injury.
No, it's
self-reported. I'm being serious.
He did. Yes.
It's like he didn't let NFL, it linger. He got
like,
ahead of it.
Right. It's like in the NFL, man, I just got concussed a little bit. I think nobody saw it, but man, what should I do? What should I do?
No, but he's going to self-report it.
They need
him. He self-reported it. And he went and took the time to get himself right, and he's come back just in time.
What?
Yep. Right? So
he's also having a tremendous year. He's 25 home runs in 95 games.
They need him healthy to rest it away. Is that he recognized the limitations of his physicality, and he got ahead of it, so that when he missed time, it wasn't like hurry back, we need you back, get back, come on, Stan, we need you back. It was kind of like come back when you're ready,
right?
And there was enough time for him to come back when he was ready, and then still make an impact on the back half of the season. I actually commend Giancarlo Stanton for how he handled the obvious and predictable injury that was coming his way.
He also missed a month, assuming he doesn't miss any more time. He missed a month of the season, and when he came back, he hit.
Yes.
There was the concern of, what's he going to do when he comes back? He changed the complexion of the Yankee lineup. But I disagree with Bob. I think that their identity come October, and really what's going to determine if this is a long extended run or just another year of the Yankees flaming out, is if they score runs.
Mm-hmm.
If Giancarlo Stanton is an October monster, if Aaron Judge can exercise his demons, if Juan Soto can get hot, if Jazz Chisholm and Austin Wells provides the proper protection. So I don't think this is going to be based on pitching and defense. Andy in New Haven. What's up, Andy?
What up, Andy?
Afternoon, gentlemen. So I wanted to say, based on my personal feelings, sir, I don't know if the numbers bear this out, but this does feel like Giancarlo's best season as a Yankee since 2018 when he had his kind of entrance. But I want to make a point about Verdugo and Dominguez. Evan, I kind of agree with your idea that Dominguez can be used to motivate Verdugo in a sense, but where I differ with you is that I think the better way to do that is if Dominguez is being trotted out there every day in AAA rather than if he's wasting away on the bench in New York. I don't think that really says anything to Verdugo besides, hey, look, we have another backup left.
No. I tell you what's different about that. Okay, so right now, something's happening in Queens that maybe people aren't paying that close attention to. Who's the starting catcher or the everyday catcher for the New York Mets? It's been Francisco Alvarez for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I think after last night, you could argue maybe it's starting to become Luis Torrens. Luis Torrens started again. And that's happening because Torrens is earning it. He's throwing out guys at second base. He's shutting down running games. And even though Torrens hasn't hit a lot, I would certainly argue that this makes a lot of sense.
Right. It's historically what you expect out of your catcher.
Yeah.
Francisco Alvarez was giving us something that was a little bit above what you expect out of your catcher, which is power.
He was hitting for power. He hasn't hit a lot. His pitch framing is very, very good. But you can run on Francisco Alvarez. You can't run on Luis Torrens. The point is, very slowly, they are now sharing the catching duties. What I would do if I'm the New York Yankees upon calling up Jason Dominguez is I would put him out there, not every single day, but him and Alex Verdugo would start sharing the time. And based on performance and based on matchups, that's going to determine who plays the most. So I'm not bringing Dominguez up to wilt away behind Alex Verdugo, nor am I bringing him up to basically send Alex Verdugo into orbit. I'm bringing him up to play and share the left field job. And based on performance, what a concept. Based on performance, that's who my left fielder is.
Yeah.
So I'm not wasting away Jason Dominguez. I'm bringing him up here and giving him a chance to take that job away from a guy who statistically has been the worst left fielder in baseball for the last 2 months.
Yes, but the last week plus, he's been really good.
Yeah, he's hot. 12 for his last 34.
Right. 36, I think.
Whatever it was, I added
the numbers of the numbers.
I already forgot it. Pete's in Seaford. What's up, Pete?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
What's up?
Looking down the stretch for both of these teams, the Mets have the fourth hardest record remaining schedule in baseball. And if you look at it, they're the hardest of teams in contention, right? The teams ahead of them, San Fran, Colorado, Tampa, are out.
Yep.
The Yankees have the 10th hardest remaining schedule, but the second toughest of the American League teams, Kansas City's has a little bit of a tougher schedule than them. The teams that they're competing with, Baltimore, Houston, San Diego for the Mets, Atlanta for the Mets. These teams all have bottom third strength of schedule remaining.
Yep.
So if you are of the opinion, especially I think for the Yankees even more so, that they play up and down to the level of competition, this is your time to shine. I do not know if the Yankees are going to be able to withstand with this kind of blasé attitude that they seem to show for the last basically 3 months, where they rode their super hot start. And I... I don't know that they can hold up the rest down the stretch.
Well, I mean, this is so much of this is what you appreciate your call, Pete, but so much of that is it's what we talk about when we talk about identity of teams, like who they are. And the one thing that I don't say I've always had a gripe with the Yankees, but one it frustrates me a little bit is that they're always even keel. Right? It's always just it's on to the next one. It's all in front to steal your boonism that we always say. It's all in front of us. The challenge with accepting what he's saying is that he's right. You know, what he's saying is absolutely right. There's no reason to get heightened when you're one of the best teams in the American League, hell of all of baseball. So it's hard to hear them talk about or at least push their way through without highs and lows and not feel the effects of wins and losses. And that's essentially why they've been so good for so long, is that they're never too high, well, they're never too low. And it's the attitude of their skip. It's the organizational's edict, and you feel it. And you can almost, I don't say guaranteed because they had a horrible season a year ago, but can almost guarantee they're going to be in the conversation. And not every team can say that every year. They're in the conversation. The Yankees are always in the conversation. And this year they have two stars and some others that are close. But it still feels exactly the same. They're just in the conversation.
Well, they should have commanded the American League East. This should be a runaway. We should have been sitting right here on this post-Tuesday Labor Day day saying the Mets are battling for their lives and the Yankees have essentially wrapped up the American League East. They should have. And he hit on something that's very, very important. He talked about the strength of schedule. Now, I look at strength of schedule when it comes to the things you can't control, like the Atlanta Braves, or like the Baltimore Orioles, or like the Arizona Diamondbacks. But when it comes to the New York Mets and the New York Yankees, especially the Yankees this season, and I'd love for you guys to tell me why you think this is the case, the Yankees kick the crap out of good teams, and they struggle against bad teams. The numbers are kind of insane this year. When they face teams that are playoff teams, teams that are above 500, they have won double the amount of games they've lost. Wow. When they face teams that are under 500 or mediocre, and you've really seen it over the last couple of weeks, they struggle against them. So when you say, well, the Yankees have the 10th toughest schedule, my counter would be, that's good news.
Right, that's a good thing for them.
Because they do play to their competition. And I mean, what would you rather have as a fan? I guess is the real question. Would you rather have a team that annihilates the bad ones than they face good teams and they struggle?
No, you'd rather what the Yankees are doing.
I agree.
Because it almost puts you in a position to feel confident against the best teams.
Yes.
And because you know there's not, once you get to the postseason, there's not going to be a letdown.
Let me give you some numbers, and this is from about 4 days ago. So we do have to add a little bit to make it fully, fully accurate. But here are some numbers from at New York Yankee Stats. When the New York Yankees face teams above 500, they have the best record in Major League Baseball. They are 54-36. When they face teams under 500, and this was as of about a week ago, so you have to alter it a little bit, they were 24-20, which is the 22nd best record in Major League Baseball. For whatever reason, they play to their competition. But yes, when you analyze these pennant races, the Mets trying to get the third or second wild card spot, and the Yankees trying to win the American League East, both teams on paper have difficult schedules. No question about it. The Mets have the fourth toughest schedule in baseball. The Atlanta Braves have the, let me find them all, let me go all the way down, 25th toughest schedule in Major League Baseball. So, yeah. But you know what? Mets just proved it on their trip. They play well to good teams.
Yeah.
Like, when they lose badly to Oakland, I think of the Huck Tua series, right? It's like, oh my God, they beat Oakland. Well, they lost to Oakland. Now, what are they going to do against Arizona and San Diego? One thing has nothing to do with the other.
They didn't.
They should have won basically every game they played against the Padres and the Diamondbacks. Crazy. We'll get to more of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. When we come back, more Yankees and Mets, but Hassan Reddick is still not here. Meanwhile, the San Francisco 49ers are ready to go. How concerned should we as Jet fans be? We'll get to it coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.